Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse, right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball like we do every Saturday morning, wondering today if the losing on the South Side will never cease without an ace, and how the Cubs fit the role of NL Central favorites. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing great, David, and a great line there to start the show. Wonderful.
Thanks, Bruce.
Will it ever cease?
I like to make you smile early.
We are going to spend a lot of time today talking about the Chicago White Sox as they look toward building a new rotation of pitching, the Chicago Cubs, and trying to figure out what their 26-man roster looks like. A little bit on Sammy Sosa returning to Chicago for the first time in many years. And, of course, all of baseball talked here at 312-644-6767. David, where would you like to begin today?
Well, I think we're going to begin with the big news of the week. What I like about the Saturday morning opportunity, Bruce, is the chance to recap the week that was in Chicago baseball. Get your thoughts as we move forward, especially when there are moves as big as the one the White Sox made in trading Dylan Cease. We'll talk about the Cubs and moving forward, what they're going to be like if they have to start the season without Jameson Taillon. Looking forward to talking to Rick Sutcliffe at 10 o'clock. Certainly Ethan Katz next hour at 10:30. And we will spend a segment assessing what Sammy Sosa said yesterday while he was in Chicago for the first time in 17 years, but mostly what he didn't say. But let's start at 312-644-6767, getting your calls and texts. Let's start with the Cease trade, Bruce, because I think that there was a sense of inevitability about it. Chris Getz was the new general manager in the midst of embarking on this rebuild that he doesn't want to call a rebuild. But they got what they were looking for. Three prospects and a major league pitcher in return. I would say that baseball has, based on the reactions I saw, baseball has looked at this trade as a good one for the White Sox.
Well, first of all, it's important because on X now, I don't have to get beat up for saying that there is no way that Dylan Cease was going to start the season with the Chicago White Sox. I'd been firm on that since November. And the reason I was is because source-wise, they were always going to trade Dylan Cease, and they were always going to go for the best offer. The thing that derailed them was the fact that you have two exceptional left-handed pitchers that are still on the free agent market, and that had not been thought about by the White Sox. They thought that those guys would be clear and that the entire spring training they would have time to trade Dylan Cease to the team that started to lose pitching along the way. And they, you know, they could have kept this up for another couple weeks here, but the reality was they heard Drew Thorpe, they heard Uriarte, they heard Zavala. These are the names that they got back, along with Wilson, a bullpen pitcher that will be in the major leagues. And we're not so sure that Drew Thorpe, the number one pitcher they got back in this deal, David, will not be in the rotation for the Chicago White Sox beginning opening day.
You think that Drew Thorpe could join the White Sox before opening day and be part of the rotation at the beginning of this season?
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Wow. That would be faster than I think some people anticipate, Bruce. He was the MLB Pipeline's Prospect of the Year last year. He came over, for people that are unaware and just catching up today on this Saturday morning, came over from the Yankees in the Soto trade, and with the Padres, ascended quickly. Big right-hander, 6'4", about 212. I heard some comps this week. I don't know that I necessarily – I want to see him pitch before I have an opinion. I've only seen the videos that are online. But, Bruce, wouldn't that be accelerating the growth or maybe the path to the majors? Do you want to do that with a young pitcher like that?
Well, you know, it depends how young you think they are. And they have – White Sox have 2 weeks to check out the maturity level of Thorpe. We know the numbers. We know what we've heard in the comps. So the reality is, what type of maturity, how does he come back from getting hit around? What is his makeup like? What is his what does he look like when things aren't going well on the mound? I think all of these help you determine if he's ready for the major leagues. But, you know, in a press conference the other day after the trade, Chris Getz, the general manager of the White Sox, said, we expect two or three of these guys to be contributors to our major league team this year.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, that's more than I think people anticipated. But that's a sign of a rebuilding team.
Right.
You want to hear from Chris Getz? You think it's worth hearing from Chris Getz?
I think it is.
This is what Chris Getz had to say about the trade, explaining what the Sox got in return and why he felt compelled to trade Dylan Cease.
We're very excited about bringing in this new group of talent. You know, Drew Thorpe, you know, he's a player that came over in the Juan Soto trade to San Diego from New York. And to be able to get the opportunity to bring him into the White Sox organization is very exciting. Very polished, right-handed starter, an elite changeup, and he's got strong pitchability. He's performed throughout his minor league career, and he has been nothing short of excellent in spring training. You know, we feel like he's going to be part of our starting rotation for years to come. In addition to Drew Thorpe, Jairo Iriarte, another right-handed starter. He's pitched up to Double-A. Very unique arsenal, power fastball, slider, bowling ball type fastball, you know, just a chance to be a really impactful major league player. You know, in addition to that, we brought in major league reliever presently in Wilson. He is a guy that, you know, can plug right into our bullpen. I feel like he can be an effective reliever for us, and excited to have him part of this package. And then Zavala, a high ceiling, potentially impactful center fielder that was 18 years old and was productive in low A with San Diego, and will be joining our organization. But we feel like it's a very good hall of talent, both that can impact our major league club, you know, right out of the gate, and then plenty of opportunities within this deal to really get some impactful players throughout the complete deal.
That's Chris Getz explaining the trade of Dylan Cease to the Padres. The Padres get in line in front of the Yankees, the Rangers. There are other teams probably sniffing around, but maybe not willing to give up as much as the Padres gave up. I don't know what the Padres are doing. I think we heard from A.J. Pierzynski, confused as well. It seems like they're unloading, then they're adding. Who cares? They're going to be opening the season Wednesday against the Dodgers. But the Sox get four guys in return.
It's all about money for A.J. Preller and the Padres right now. They had a dump out of millions of dollars. They did that. Obviously, they weren't going to re-sign their own Cy Young Award winner, who's still out there on the marketplace. When it comes to this trade, I think if you see Wilson and Thorpe at the big league level competing and contributing, it's an automatic win for the Chicago White Sox in 2024, because nobody believed that Dylan Cease was going to help the White Sox win a division this year, go to the playoffs. I don't think that's in anybody's plans right now for the White Sox in 2024. When you look at the overall picture here, and you got Zavala, who's considered a young star of the future, I think they did quite well. I'm a big Dylan Cease fan, but at the same time, 2 years remaining, Scott Boras client, no extension that would ever happen for him.
I get it. It's a sad day when you trade your ace. You are conceding a lot and admitting even more, but it is the way that the Sox do business, and it's difficult to argue with the reluctance to sign pitchers to long-term contracts, just given the way this offseason has reminded us. It's a dangerous proposition. There are guys that get injured, and Gerrit Cole is now out for a month, and you wonder what's ahead for him. But with the Sox, Bruce, back in Chicago, you wonder, who's starting opening day? They haven't said that yet. Who's going to fill out this rotation? I bet you Sox fans are even confused about who exactly is in the mix. And then there's the issue of one guy we know won't be starting opening day, won't be in the rotation. That's Michael Kopech, demoted to the bullpen, forever a prospect, waiting for him to arrive. That potential has been a loaded word in referring to Michael Kopech. So there's a lot going on with the Sox pitching that we're looking forward to talking to Ethan Katz about. But who would you think is the likely starter on opening day? Would it be Fetty?
I would think it would be Fetty. You know, is there an outside shot that someone else would do it? I guess. But, you know, Fetty's the one coming off of the most innings last year, has the most major league experience. The shocking part about the White Sox proposed rotation is the fact that Mike Soroka, who's being considered as the opening day starter, has 45 innings pitched in the major leagues since 2020. Okay. You have Crochet, who's being considered for the rotation, with 25 innings last year and 79 in his entire major league career, okay? And then you have Fetty with 180, albeit in Korea, is, you know, he's your obvious opening day starter. I wouldn't worry so much about the opening day starter. I'd worry more about, are there enough innings in any of these arms to give you 25 to 30 starts?
I'm worried about the opening month. I'm worried about June. If you're a Sox fan, you're worried about everything because you're staring at a 100-loss season again, at least.
Yeah, and again, the team itself can be better and on a better track, but the reality is you have to have, even in today's game where bullpens are king, you still have to have guys that can throw five innings, okay? And five innings usually means 100 pitches, okay? So finding that and keeping that for a full season is going to be the charge of the Chicago White Sox and Ethan Katz, our guest, later on in the show.
The Cubs have their own rotation issues with Jameson Taillon and the back injury. We'll get to that. But before that, let's go out to our Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Mike in Glencoe has some thoughts on the White Sox and the Dylan Cease trade. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. Well, good morning. And I'm always a fan of trading with San Diego. I remember Lamar Hoyt for Ozzie Guillen, 40 years ago. But my question is kind of following
up
on something.
Hold on, Mike. How can you mention that and just gloss over Fernando Tatis for James Shields? Come on, Mike. That's a bad memory.
I'm an 83 guy, David. I can't forget that.
All right.
But following up on something you guys talked about with Molly the other day really bothers me, and it's the hope question. We stink this year. We're going to probably stink next year. We need hope as a fan base. Mr. Reinsdorf said we can't be competitive without a new stadium. Well, we're already non-competitive. And it seems to me that the underlying story in all this is he needs to make good on his plans to build a new ballpark, or we're sitting here as a fan base with an owner who says, well, I'm not getting a new stadium. We can't compete. I don't get the hope aspect of it. And I don't understand why the White Sox are not focusing more on this long-term question. What do you guys think?
Thanks, Mike. What do you think, Bruce?
I think they are looking at the long-term, and long-term is, Mike and all your other great White Sox fans out there, look past Jerry Reinsdorf, okay? When you hear a new stadium, look past the money that he and his family will get when they sell. Even if they sell today without a new stadium, it's a $2 billion buy-in, okay? With a new stadium, maybe it's a $3 billion or $2.5 billion buy-in. The reality is you have to look past Jerry Reinsdorf's ownership, okay? And I think if you do, you know, you can see that someone else will have a different philosophy once they pick up this ballpark. And the quickest way, if you want Jerry not to be the owner, is give the White Sox and Chicago a new ballpark and new hope to live in Chicago and let Jerry do what he wants. Look, he's had it for over 40 years. He and his partners have a right to make as much money as they can.
Fair enough, Bruce. I understand the cynicism, and I've learned this in just in being here for 20 years or so. Look, I can have strong opinions on Jerry Reinsdorf and what he has done and how he has led. I can have strong opinions on what they do in terms of building a roster and trying to win and competing and rebuilding and all that stuff. That's our role. That's our job. I am not, based on experience, I am not going to tell a White Sox fan how to think and what to feel and whether or not to have hope or not. If they want to expect 100 losses and be as pessimistic as they want to going into the season, that's their right to do. The glass is always half empty, that's okay with me.
David, I'm not telling anybody how to think. I'm telling them, look, our job is to help them project what this would look like on the other end.
Absolutely. That's what our role is, Bruce. Yeah. I'm reacting more to Mike's question than I am to what you had to say because I think that, you know, Molly and I have the ongoing conversation about how to view this rebuild. I think this from a baseball perspective, Chris Getz had no choice. This is not really something that you can really, I don't know. The only thing I would add to is why they are reluctant to identify this as what everybody knows it is. In 2016, they hit reset when they traded Chris Sale, and this was a rebuild. I embraced that. They need to embrace this. This is what's going on.
It's a harsh reality because you don't think you're going to have two rebuilds within 4 years, okay? You don't think that that's going to be a part of the equation. But it's a reality. You have to deal with it now. You can point the fingers at Reinsdorf. You can point it at La Russa. You can point it at Pedro Grifol. You can point it at where it should go to the players, but the reality is deal with what you got in front of you, and that is let's make the best out of this and move forward. And part of that, I believe, and again, I'm a Chicago taxpayer like everybody else. I want them to be responsible how they spend the money in Illinois and Chicago, but I believe that Chicago deserves to have an elite ballpark in the American League as well as the National League. And it would be a big draw to the city and a big boom to the economy in the long run.
312 texts in, and this is the common perception. Being miserable is in the DNA of White Sox fans. I don't know that I would go that far, but I do know some White Sox fans who have had reason to be miserable lately and are taking that into this season. I know one guy who isn't miserable and seldom is, the most upbeat Sox fan that I know, Ron, on the South Side. Morning, Ron. Welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you doing this weekend?
Hey, I'm good, guys. But Bruce, I agree with you 100%. Again, I very seldom make a comment about Jerry Reinsdorf. They'll get that settled. I'm more interested in what's going on in the field right now. I would definitely love to see you go up in there. But the main person, and then Dave, I know you've been advocating for this, is Garrett Crochet. And Bruce, last week when the conversation came up about Colin Montgomery, you said the good ones come quick. So I want to ask, other thing real quick, I don't know what you do with Michael Kopech, because you can't be in the bullpen. He can't throw strikes. But that my main thing is about Garrett Crochet. When a team is going to be pretty bad, all you can do is look for the players that you think will be here in the future. And you want to see them. I want to see Colson Montgomery, Garrett Crochet. And so that's it. So maybe come in. I hope to see him in the rotation. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ron. You know what? I'm with Ron, Bruce. Explain to me why the White Sox, if Garrett Crochet is going to be a starter in a season that is looking as bleak as it is, you mentioned maybe you're going to see Thorpe on the major league roster. Why wouldn't Garrett Crochet be in that rotation?
Innings pitched.
Couldn't you spend every inning that he does pitch? He's going to pitch an inning.
Well, I mean, okay.
Look, in Chicago?
I think that the innings number for a healthy Crochet is somewhere between 85 and 100.
Wow.
Okay? Tops.
Okay. This year, but yeah. Not always.
So how do you get to that number and have him progress and also be a credible pitcher on a major league staff? Do you have him for the first time in maybe major league history, a 30 game opener where he goes three innings every 5 days? Okay. I think it's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
Right.
I wouldn't rule anything out
but
in today's baseball.
Can a bullpen, even
it's
with a bunch of guys, you
it's
know
a lot of strain on
right.
the bullpen.
I mean, you know, you're adding in another, you know, how many innings are you adding for the bullpen?
His stuff's electric, though. It really is.
Right.
It has been. But the innings limit.
It's not only the innings, but it's the day after, the day before for the manager.
Right.
I got a three-inning pitcher going tomorrow. I can't use that whole bullpen the day before. I can't use it the day after. Okay? So it probably impacts three or four games, not just one when he starts and goes three innings.
We got plenty of Cubs talk coming up about their rotation issues without Jameson Taillon starting the season with the Major League Club. But when we come back, we're going to play a little chin music. Sammy Sosa in town for the first time in 17 years on Friday. And I think that, yes, it fit perfectly into our chin music theme. And we'll hear what Sammy had to say and our reaction to it when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
High and inside, our chin music, a little chin music, take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure.
Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids?
this is, like I say, this is not a question that I expected from you.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. Playing a little chin music. Friday morning. That was about 7:30 in the morning. Luke Kanellis from Fox 32, our guy, was on the station yesterday explaining this. Asked Sammy Sosa, who's in town for an autograph signing event, first time in 17 years, asked him the question you just heard. Sammy's response was somewhat predictable. I just want to say this real quick, Bruce. Luke Kanellis was doing his job, doing it well. But in that situation, it's not easy to ask somebody a direct question that's going to, you know, create a response that is uncomfortable. But you've got to ask it, in my opinion. He did his job, and he asked the question that every Cub fan, every baseball fan, wanted to hear Sammy address when they see him in Chicago for the first time in 17 years.
Well, it's only fair to say that the question that was asked before Lou's question was by Mike Berman of NBC, and he asked him about mistakes, and Sammy admitted to mistakes. So Lou, being the professional broadcaster that he is for 40 years here in Chicago, followed up with what he had heard, and that was the time for him, in his opinion, to not only ask this last question, but knowing it would be the last question of the interview, because it was as high and tight and as inside as you can get for chin music on any level.
It was.
You know, I mean, it's like, oh, you know, since 2004, when you left the Cubs 20 years ago, you haven't admitted to using steroids. This is probably a good time for you to admit it to me so we can move on and you can go back to the Stevens Center and sign autographs and the Cubs can accept
it. There's no way Sammy received anything as high and tight in 98 as he did yesterday morning from Big Lou.
No.
Good job, Big Lou.
It was a good job in one way, and it was also telling in the other that Sammy Sosa, whether you believe he did steroids or not, there's still some people that feel that Sammy has the right to insist he's never tested positive, he's never been suspended, therefore, why should he admit to something that is totally unnecessary in his mind? The fact remains is that he is not ready. I don't think he'll ever be ready to admit he did steroids. But, you know, with a great interview by Jared Payton on WGN and a part of the family here at The Score, he went a little bit further into it.
Do you feel like you owe Cub fans or the organization an apology?
Well, look, in the past, I had to say, like everybody else, made a lot of mistakes. You know, now, you know, I recognize my mistake. I don't have any ego anymore. If it is a time that I had to, that I go through that, through that path, and I believe that I can do that, why not? Yeah. You know, why not? But, you know, like I say, I you know, right now it's different time. Yeah. You know, I see things different now. So, you know, but like I say, you know, I'm here.
Jared did a terrific job with that interview. And the whole entirety of it was played on GN Sports last night. And it can be found on YouTube. And Jared, I spoke to him about that interview with Sammy on Friday afternoon. And they went deep on a lot of different things. And I think, Bruce, what I heard was in the morning, obviously he reacted to a direct question he didn't like and maybe didn't expect. And then, I don't want to say softened to the idea, but kept the door open ajar, if you will, to a reconciliation with the Cub organization. I do think and hope that there's ground that they both can cover and maybe meet in the middle. I do think you can, if you want to get lawyers involved, and they would have to be, as you know, whatever you want to do, parse the language, say something that reflects responsibility, accountability, and maybe a conciliatory tone to say that, all right, it's time that everybody just let's hug it out and Sammy is back. Because this is kind of, it's a story that won't go away, and people have strong opinions on both sides. But don't you think it's time for both sides to kind of meet in the middle?
Well, you know, Tom Ricketts and his family drew the line a long time ago, and that is, until you're ready to admit that you did some things incorrectly and apologize to Chicago, the fan base,
okay,
you're not welcome back.
I applaud that. I agree with that. That's what I mean. They need to meet in the middle. If that's where Tom is, then Sammy can word something or express himself in a way that is seems more pliable or
how do you
aware.
Say, how do you say I did a little steroids?
Well, ask Mark McGwire.
I only did it once.
Ask Barry Bonds.
I did it once, and I didn't like it, and I stopped. Okay.
You know what the ultimate irony is on Friday, yesterday? Is that we have this playing out in Chicago, this sort of Sammy Sosa returns and asks the questions and addresses them sort of kind of maybe. Mark McGwire's in a Cub uniform out in Mesa as an instructor because his son Mason was drafted by the Cubs in the 2022 draft, eighth rounder. And Mark McGwire's wearing Cub gear on the day that Sammy Sosa is still trying to work his way back into the organization. And both those guys shared the spotlight, and both those guys were under the same cloud of suspicion when right. they did it in 1998.
The hypocrisy of the steroids era and baseball being picked out of all the sports as the whipping child always has disturbed me, okay? Because anybody that knows anything about the NFL and football realizes that even their beloved Bears, going back into the 80s and 90s, were doing steroids, okay, and doing a lot of them and impacting their play and becoming Hall of Famers and iconic players. I'm not picking on the Bears or the NFL. I'm just saying in baseball, because there's so many more individual things that you do on the field, guys like Sosa, McGwire, Clemens, who were superior ball players to begin with, became superhuman, unrelatable players because of the numbers they put up. Should they be punished more than anyone else? You know, should Manny Ramirez be walking around the Cub dugout as a coach, you know, back in the day?
Right. Welcome back. Invited back.
Again, there's no denying that Mr. Ricketts and his family have the right to feel the way they do. I understand it, and whatever they believe, that's fine. My contention is that there's no denying that Sammy Sosa, steroids or no steroids, was the only reason to go watch the Chicago Cubs for about a 10-year period, and he was the entertainment for the Chicago Cubs and their fans for many years. Never ever didn't hustle when he was on the field. Never ever didn't give
100%. Nobody's ever doubted that. Nobody's ever doubted
so,
that.
So, I mean, there's a lot of positives about Sosa.
But the elephant in the room is a steroid issue. And our text line reflects kind of the split or the mixed emotions, I should say, that a lot of Cub fans have. 773. Fans only care about Tom Ricketts getting over himself and letting Sammy back in the fold. 309. Sammy needs to apologize first. Until then, he's not welcome. We can forgive if one asks for forgiveness. 872. Sammy Sosa doesn't owe anybody an apology or admission about anything because his production as a player was outstanding. How'd you text that one, Bruce? I didn't see you.
The fact is that I think everybody, it's probably split down the middle or 60-40,
70-30. It could be closer than I think, yeah. But you reference the Tom Ricketts-Sammy Sosa relationship, which I think is interesting. Sammy also, during that terrific interview with Jarrett Payton, addressed his relationship with Tom Ricketts.
Tom Ricketts has been here as well. Have you met him or ever talked to him?
Yeah, you know, I talked to him a few times. Yes, in the past, definitely. And I mean, Tom Rick is a great, he's a great guy. I mean, so far, so good. So, like I said, me coming to Chicago, I think it's going to be open a lot of door. Mm. I'm probably going to come back here, often, like I say, and let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
What's he going to, White Sox games? I mean, he's going to have to buy a ticket to get in, right?
I think so. I
admire Sammy for finally taking a stand and saying, look, I'm tired of being a non-entity. I'm tired of being pushed to the back of Cub history. It's time for me to maybe have a little bit of mea culpa and for them to meet me halfway.
But you know, Bruce, I know you know from working behind the scenes, I know this firsthand from having an experience that was a regrettable one, trying to get to Sammy Sosa and his people. He's considered these kinds of things before. He's considered coming forward and acknowledging certain things like Lou asked him directly before. I think that you're familiar with the story I've told on the air and written about in the Tribune years ago. It was 10 years ago that Sammy Sosa invited Dave Kaplan and myself down to Fort Lauderdale to sit in front of him with TV cameras there and tell us what we wanted to hear about the steroid issue, and said he was going to come clean. And it was all through the Cub organization. It was through his people. The Dominican government was involved. And then we get down there after flying to Florida, and he canceled at the last minute. He has talked about this for a long time. I'll believe it when I see it now. I think there's ground to cover. I don't think it's impossible, but I'm not hopeful, even after yesterday.
All I can tell you is this. From the Cub point of view, and this is up to date, there has been no change in the Cubs' relationship with Sammy. I admire Sammy for coming out and saying, I'm coming to Chicago. I'm going to be around. I'm not hiding any longer. So at some point, there's a couple of things that he has to probably talk about more than just steroids, and that is walking away from the team on the final day of the season in 2004 and not being a part of the team that day. And also the cracked bat and the what they found inside of it. He's going to have to be honest about some of these things, okay?
Yep.
I think if he can show that, I don't know if he has to stop short of admitting he did steroids. You know, it's painful to go back and even talk about that as a baseball fan, because myself and so many other people were so caught up in Sosa and McGuire and what it meant for baseball. And my daughter, she believed in this back then. She was like 12 years old. And after looking at it for a year or two down the line, she was not as big a baseball fan ever afterwards. And, that saddened me. So there was real damage done personally for me and for other people by this, pro wrestling type of look that that baseball had to admit to.
Thanks for sharing that, Bruce. That seems like it was a long time ago in ancient history, and yet we're talking about it because Sammy was in town. Let's talk about the immediate future and the Cubs and what they're going to do about the rotation, about the roster, who's playing third base. We'll talk about it next. And Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So he had some back spasms when he was warming up the other day before he went in the game. The MRIs were relatively clean. I think he's certainly going to likely be slowed a little bit into the season, would be my guess, but it doesn't seem too bad. And then, as far as free agents, I mean, I generally think this is our team out there. We're always looking at trades. We're always looking at small things, but I think that'd be my general impression would be that this is our group.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back on this Saturday morning. That was Jed Hoyer with John Heyman on his podcast. John is a regular on the Mully and Haugh show. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, Inside the Clubhouse till 11. Bruce, Jameson Taillon, this good news that the MRI was clean, not so good that He's going to likely start the season away from the Major League club, as he tweeted out earlier in the week. We've talked about alternatives. They do have depth. How much will this hurt?
Well, it hurts a little bit more because you almost have to look at it as at Imanaga as an injured player to start the season, because part of their way of looking at the first month of the season for Imanaga is try to find as many days where we can skip him, not in the rotation, but an extra day with days off and with spot starters, okay? So that's been a part of the plan. Now you have two pitchers that you have to do it for. Becomes a little bit more difficult part of the equation. Then you start looking at, gee, how many options do we have left on blank pitcher so we can bring him up, make a spot start, return him to the minor leagues, because we have both of these guys going on at the same time. Imanaga, to me, and I looked at the schedule in depth over the last few weeks, you know, would be the ideal fifth starter right now, because you can skip that spot and give him an extra day, okay? So the first month, that might change this plan a little bit because of the fact that you don't have that type of pitching depth that you can bring up and back between Iowa and Chicago.
Drew Smyly, Jordan Wicks, they make a lot of sense. Assad is very versatile. Wisniewski's one of those guys you say has options to go back and forth. You wonder who else could get into the mix possibly. But I wonder this, Bruce, when you look at the Cubs wanting to solidify certain guys and maybe keep the stability for a guy like Jordan Wicks. Is Jordan Wicks, has he pitched well enough in the spring to justify starting him in the rotation in April as the season begins and envisioning him staying there all season long?
I think so. He's, again another guy with options. But if you watch that game yesterday against the White Sox, there was a horrendous umpire behind the plate, and it changed the dynamic of not only Wicks, but the White Sox pitchers' entire game. Changeups that weren't being called for strikes, just a squeeze strike zone. So I don't make excuses for pitchers. I think that his work up until yesterday's game was really good all year, and I think they feel like he's a solid five-inning pitcher at this particular point in time. Still hurts me to say solid five-inning pitcher.
It does. Yeah. I wonder how Rick Sutcliffe feels about that. We'll talk to Sutcliffe at 10 o'clock, top of the hour. Before we finish this segment, Bruce, about the Cubs pitching, the Cubs roster will be pared down eventually as it continues to get toward opening day, March 28th, only 12 days away. Wow. When you look at that roster, I asked Coom this question Friday on the Mullion Haw Show, and I want to get your opinion. David Bodie's been a member of the Cubs organization since 2012. He was a 19-year-old man, young man at that point. Now he's 31. Fringe player, didn't play a major league game last year, leads the Cactus League in home runs, has been a guy that can play various positions. He was even used in left field when Ian Happ was out. What is the future about David Bodie, and did you consider him an option when you're looking at this spinning carousel of third basemen?
Well, he's proved to a lot of people that physically he's back to being the player he was like 3 or 4 years ago before he had some major shoulder surgery and just broke down. Was he ever a starting player in the major leagues? I think no, not really. But I think a good backup, and I still think he could be a good backup for the Cubs or for any number of other major league teams. So kudos to him. He's had a tremendous spring. He can play second, short, and third. He's good at it. The question is, how does morale and wisdom, how does that work out at third base? Are you too right-handed if you keep him and Cooper as the backup at first base? Okay. I think Cooper is going to stay, not only because of first base, but, you know, him and Smith might be the DHs on the team. So with that in mind, I really believe that Bodie doesn't make the team. He's not even on the 40-man roster, even though he's being paid $3 million a year from a previous contract. So I don't think it works out. Mastrobioni has a left-handed bat. He plays shortstop probably a little bit better than Bodie.
I still love that Bodie signed that contract when he did. Yeah. He was still a pretty valuable Cub for a short period of time there. A guy that was easy to like. I loved his backstory, of course, but he was a clutch guy at a good time when the Cubs were really good.
Never quite as good as most people thought.
is that your polite way of telling me, Bruce, that I overrated David Bodie? Because I was one of those guys.
I'm always polite to you.
I was rowing the Bodie. I was doing all the puns. I love that story.
See, you know, what happens with players sometimes, and Bodie is a tremendously cooperative guy with the media.
Right. I know.
I guess I don't
know,
have,
Bruce.
I don't have to say anything
that's
more,
okay.
Do I?
That's a very polite diss, but I thank you for being so polite. All right, we will continue to talk politely when we come back. Rick Sutcliffe, 40 years ago, Bruce, it's now been 40 years since 1984. And Rick Sutcliffe can talk about that and talk about this year's Cubs pitching staff. He's been in Arizona. We'll talk to Sut next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.